Say good morning and welcome. It has been a tremendous blessing to be here thus far. We've been very well fed. Insanity says that you can do the same thing over and over again and get a different result. That was a good children's lesson that you can, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. That's just pretty simple, but yet it's profound. I was thinking of Brother Mart, that swiftly our days are turning to years very quickly. I remember a day between the 10s and the 20s that I looked forward to the 20s. Oh, just could I ever get there? And I know you children probably think those years just take so long. Those 8 years of school just drag on and on. But they don't. And soon you'll look back and you'll wonder where they all went. So endure the time. I shouldn't say endure, but enjoy the time. Make it a blessing. Get all that you can get while you're there. If you long to be somewhere else, you're going to miss what's before you. And that's the same for us today. You know, the grass, the world says the grass is always greener on the other side. That's not true. That's just what it appears to be. And so therefore we embrace that thought. We're sitting here at home. And I see Brother Brian here, and he's over in Texas. And man, if we could just be missionaries like Brother Brian, it's just such a blessing. I mean, he's just over there, and so we miss everything we got here. And Brian's there, and he's seen how green the grass is here. And if we get content where we are, God can do a work in our hearts. And he can do that here today. And I trust that as we come here today, that we're here as ready hearers. We're here to hear what God has for us. I was thinking one line in the song 680. Brother Alvey says, we all live. We all have a goal. We all have a purpose. And the third line of that song says, I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell. So we couldn't even exhaust in words the suffering of our Savior. Of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for you. What have you borne for me? That's our purpose. That's our goal in this life. Let's never forget that. This life is only a small part of our journey. And before you know, the time scale is going to be gone. And only what was done for Christ and His kingdom is going to stand for all of eternity. The rest, Brother Alvey witnessed, they go through those possessions, and they're all there. They're all still there. Everything that his dad and mom pursued, they left behind. Doesn't mean it's wrong for them to pursue it. But let us take heed of what are we running after. With that, before we get into the message, I'd like to stand to make sure you're all awake. And we're going to sing 950. Brother Melvin, if you would lead that, I would appreciate it.
So be on thy guard.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, we bow here in your presence, Lord, and we're very thankful, Father, this morning for another opportunity to gather together here in a public way and to worship you. And Father, we pray that as our worship ascends to the heavens, that it would be pleasing in your sight. Father, that you would look down and you could say those words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so, Father, we just pray that your will would be accomplished in each of our hearts here today. Father, you would mold us, you would shape us, you would do with us what would bring glory to your name. And so, Father, we just pray that you would guard these lips in the next several minutes, that you would just allow your will to come forth. And Father, my prayer is to be a channel only, that your words could flow through. And so, Father, we just pray that you would receive all the praise and the honor and glory of anything that gets said here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We'll put the title on the board. Take heed how we hear. My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies. The Bible is full of warnings, and we'll see some more of that. But as I think of that, the last line says, "Fight on, my soul, till death shall bring thee to thy God. He'll take thee at thy parting breath to his divine abode." So as we're here, And we live in this world. This world is, and you know this, it's a battlefield. There's no time to sit back in the recliner. There's no time to rest. Your soul is at stake, and so is mine. And much more so today that if you're a child of God, your soul is at stake. There's an enemy that desires you and desires to take you into an eternal hellfire. That's the battle that we're facing today. And it's not a physical battle, but it's a spiritual battle. Sometimes I think if we could sit back and we could see the spiritual warfare for the church today, we would marvel at that. And so as I was pondering, we're going to continue in the book of Hebrews. We're going to look at chapter 2. I am not exactly sure how far we'll get. We're going to start with the first four verses. But before we go there, it's always good to do a recap or a review to make sure that the teacher is doing what he should do. So I have a few questions, and I'd like for your anticipation. The book of Hebrews is a book of things. Book of better things. So when we think of the Bible, what is required for life from Genesis to Revelation? You saw it on the bottom of the graph last Sunday. Or not last Sunday. Blood. Thank you. Without the shedding of, there is no remission of sin. Blood. Without the shedding of blood. Almost all things are cleansed by blood. And then we talked about angels. Angels are, and I'd given you three words. I don't know if you remembered that. I'll just give them to you. Angels are intelligent, powerful, spiritual beings. And we'll look at some more of that at some time. But who is exalted far above the angels? Jesus is exalted far above the angels. Thank you for that. Those are some of the things that we talked about. I trust that you've taken notes and you have taken heed how you've heard. So as we think of as chapter 2 coming up before us here, the first word that we see in chapter 2 is what? Therefore. So why is therefore? Therefore. That would be our first thing to do, is to think about why the word is therefore. So in chapter 1, you see that Christ is being exalted above all things. Christ holds the preeminence. He is sovereign. He is over all. And you see that in chapter 2. He's exalted far above the angels. He has a name that's more excellent than them. His position is the right hand of the throne of God. That's Christ. He won't share that with anybody. And so then, because of that, you have the word therefore. Because there's another little phrase there that says that he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. He has spoken to us by his Son. Therefore, and his Son is exalted far above everything else. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And there's a period there. That therefore is therefore for that purpose, because Christ has spoken to the church today and he is exalted above all things. He holds the absolute authority of your life. So that the day that you are ushered, you or I are ushered to the throne room of God, Christ has the final authority in our life. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that he has spoken. So today, in our own language, sit up, we pay very close attention, not to what Brother Alvey said, Brother Martin said, Brother Irvin said, or what I will say, but to what Christ is saying to the church. Pay very close attention, because that's what Christ is going to hold that final authority over our lives. So I assume today, and as we think about hearing, I assume today we're here because we have needs. If not, then most of what comes forth from a service slips from our minds very quickly. Yes, it's a blessing to be here, but I really have no needs in my life. That's a very dangerous place and position to have our hearts in. If we're here, and we're here nonchalantly, we're here casually, we're here, excuse me, we're here without any purpose, because I'm just enduring a time. Everything that got said today, by this afternoon, at the best, tomorrow will be gone. Take heed how you hear. Give a more earnest heed to the things that are spoken. So those are two points we're going to look at today. First in these four verses is to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard is the one. And then two is lest at any time we should let them slip. That's the second point. So we're going to read the first four verses at this point. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. And I don't know if we'll go any further, but you'll take these four verses are in the center of Paul's dialogue about angels and comparing Christ to angels. And then from verses 5 to 13, he brings mankind into that picture in comparison to Christ and the angels. I don't know if we'll go there today, but these four verses are placed right here in the middle because I think of very important to take an earnest heed of how we hear today. Make sure that we're hearing what Christ is saying to the church. Because as we think of the Bible, the Bible was written for believers. It was written to the believers. This is not telling the sinner man, take heed how you hear. But it's telling the church. It's telling the saints, take heed how you hear. Take heed to what the Son has said. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So that's what you think about when you think of letting something slip. That's the end result of they have taken faith and it's become a shipwreck, a total destruction, completely gone. That's the end result of letting something slip. Because I would say that if we was to think about this, they had no need. They heard carelessly. It don't really matter. I already know all that. So in that, I'd like to turn, as we think about giving ear of how we hear, I'd like to turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read some verses there. Turn your Bibles there if you'd like. Luke chapter 8, it talks about four different types of hearers. People that hear the word. We'll just read it. We'll start in verse 9. It says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And Jesus said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And no man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. So as we think of hearing, I'm just going to simply use the terms that my Bible has on the side notes. My Bible may also have this, but it's indifferent hearers are those by the wayside, and those on the rock, it says they're emotional hearers, and those which fell among the thorns are worldly hearers, And then in, finally, on the good soil, good ground is receptive hearers. So as we think of this, we indifferent simply means nonchalant, casual, and uninterested. So as we sit here today, we are receiving the Word of God in our lives on a daily basis in one of these four categories. And not just on a Sunday morning. If that's the only time you receive it, then I probably could say woe unto you. But as we go through life, each and every day, as we open the Word, as we sit down and we read the Bible, we can either do it, we can do it as believers, we can do it nonchalantly. We can do it casually, and we can do it uninterested. We are simply going through the motions. And we could really care less, because it's just the Bible. Well, I'd like to encourage us that it's more than that. In these last days, His Son has spoken to us. So you open the Bible and you can think, this is Christ speaking to us today. It's not just some ink put on paper. Or we can go through it, we can be emotional. We read it, we get excited, we gladly receive it. We're going to go, we're going to serve God, we're going to go do some great thing for God. We're going to go out there, and all of a sudden the trials come, and Johnny got sick, and Johnny's in the hospital, and Johnny ends up passing away, and we have a funeral, and my faith hit bottom, and I turn away. I'm done. It brought forth a little fruit, and then it went away. It's gone. You can read in the morning and have devotions. You can get up and you get all excited about something you read. And 10 minutes later, you're out and working. You're focused on working. It's gone. Just disappeared. That's an emotional here. As long as things go well, we're getting attention, then we keep going. But when the new wears off, the word dies out. That's simply put. And so that's why we're looking at taking heed how we hear. Because when we read, we are hearing what Christ is saying to the church. A worldly hearer is they go forth, but they have greater passions that choke out choke the word out of their lives. Of greater passions. Yes, you read it. First, we ought to go back and we ought to see on the wayside. The devil comes and takes it away. Okay, so when you're carelessly, you're nonchalantly, you're uninterested, you read the Word of God, the devil's there, he snatches it away before you get anything from it. And so that's it. You in your mind, I in my mind, we go through the thing of reading, but then it's snatched away and we don't receive any truths from it. And then when we're emotional, that's those that fell on the rock, which they hear, they receive it with joy and gladness, but there's no root there, there's no stability there, there's nothing, there's no enduring substance there. And then you have the worldly here that gets some. It says here that they fell among the thorns, and then when they have heard, they go forth, and they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. There's some fruits there, but there's no fruit brought to perfection. But then it says on the good ground, we're receptive hearers. So we enjoy hearing. We desire to hear. We want to learn because we are a needy people. As we walk in this life, we see our life in the sense that of Christ, all that He has done for you and I, what He's borne it all for us. What have I borne for Him? But He says that on the good soil are they which keep it. They keep it. It's retention. We retain it. There's enduring substance. There's good root there. There's some good soil there. There's fruit going to come forth. And it says they bring forth fruit with patience. And so you see those in the good soil. You see not an emotional high, not a careless attitude, not casual listeners, but you see those that the glory of Jesus Christ just radiates from their life because they keep it, they retain it, they love that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that set me to thinking. Too often in this life, maybe I should ask a question: how many here have ever received a warning in your life? All of us, right? We've all received it at some point. The children up front here, they received a warning this morning. They received a warning on obedience. What about so oftentimes I started thinking about this as how I hear. I think that too often I do it very carelessly. So you've walked into Menards before, and there's a sign there that says, the little yellow sign, yellow's caution, okay? So yellow sign says, slippery when wet. We'll keep right on going. That doesn't affect me. I can walk on a wet floor. That's the way we go. A curve up ahead, the little yellow sign, speed limit's 55, little yellow sign says 40 miles per hour. I can take this curve at 60. This doesn't affect me. I'm above that little caution sign. It's a casual attention to caution. It's a casual. It's uninterested. It's nonchalant. Those things aren't for me. The Bible is full of warnings, and they're written to God's children this morning. Take heed how we hear, because in like manner also we receive many cautions from the Word of God. But our attitude, mine, it's not going to happen to me. I got it. I can handle technology. I'm above that. I don't need those things. That's how we go through life. I have superseded all of that. And so this doesn't affect me. That S curve, that doesn't mean that you're going to get stopped if you go 60 miles around it. What they're saying is take caution. Because you could lose control and end up off the road and you could kill yourself. The slippery when wet, you could walk in, you could slip and fall, and you could break a limb. The severity of it, you could bump your head and have a concussion. Oh, but not me. That don't happen to me. So take heed how we hear. Let's not have the attitude that that we can handle it. We got it. We're big, you know. We're not little anymore. We can do these things. So I went through. And I copied them down here, but the verses we're going to look at in the Bible of the things that we are to take heed, warnings to the Christians, because, and let's not just receive this, but let's receive it as the Son has spoken to the church today, and not with an attitude that, well, we're above that. We've mastered that. We can handle this. So the first one you'll find in, and I didn't get all of them, but some of them, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 1, and you can turn with me if you would desire. If not, that's fine. I encourage you to write them down at the very least and go home and read it. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now, it's talking about giving of alms and praying. And when I give you these take heeds, I'm not saying that that's what we're lacking, okay? I simply went through the Bible and took some of the take heeds. So, but because Christ is speaking to us in these areas, he's telling us that most of these are spoken to his disciples, and all of them are spoken to the church today. He's telling us that you're not above this. You're not. Even if you think you are, you're not above giving of alms and letting everybody know what you did. You're not above that. Oh, we've learned how to do it in secretish ways, kind of roundabout. We kind of let little snidbits out here so everybody kind of knows what happened, but we don't blatantly come out and say what we did. But when Jesus says, take heed, he's letting you and I know in a very kind way that we have not mastered these things. He say, take heed, because you could go there. This can happen to the church. Really? We can pray so that people hear us pray. We can do that. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. And again, these are written in red. So he says, take heed. This is Jesus' words. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. So take heed that children don't ever become a bother to you. And I know I'm speaking to parents that I trust that I'm confident in my heart it's not the case. But I would probably like to speak a word of warning to you as older siblings and with younger ones. Take heed that your little siblings don't become an embarrassment to you. It's okay. That's okay. Little children are precious in the sight of God. So take heed to that. Don't look at your little, they're just embarrassing me. Well, if they're embarrassing you, then probably some of you should probably just die a little bit. And you should see the glory that's in that little children there. And then you could minister to them grace and life. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, again, written in red. The words of Jesus, the words of the Son spoken to the church in the last days. He says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Take heed that you do not be deceived. Now, we're not exempt from that. Again, the church, there's many people come, and especially more so in today's world than ever before. There's all kinds of voices out there of people that have found a new and a better way, a new idea, a new way to interpret scriptures. What we have has been given. There's not going to be a new revelation. This is the final revelation. So take heed to that. Don't be deceived. Don't hear every voice that comes along. Now let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. And again, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Or to you, sorry. And unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So to take heed with whatever measure you meet your brother or your sister, that same will be measured to you again. So how I've talked with this with my wife some that, if we're always we measure someone in how they stand, someday we'll be measured in that same manner. So nobody meets this until they meet my criteria. Well, I believe that someday when you stand before the Lord, He's going to measure you in that same manner. That when you meet this, then you'll be in. Now, I stand for correction on that. You can talk to me afterward. But Mark chapter 13, we'll keep moving through this. And Mark chapter 13, verse 33 through 37. Again, it's Jesus speaking. He says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch you therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest come suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you all, watch." And I would say that in our day-to-day, as but we are to take heed that we don't be found sleeping. Casually, uninterested, carelessly. We're just, yes, it's a long coming. It's not going to be. These words that we're reading this morning are truth and they're spirit. They're not going to pass away. They're not just going to be nonchalant. They're not just going to be casually. Jesus spoke them unto the church today because He says, take heed and watch. Because you could be found going to sleep. Turn over to Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, verse 35 and 36, he says this, Jesus says, and again he's talking to his disciples, but he says this, "Take heed therefore that the light which is in you be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." So he's telling us to take heed to the light which is in us, to make sure that there's no part that's dark in there, that it's a pure light and all the darkness flies away. So Luke chapter 12, turn your page there and then one verse there in verse 15. He says this, "And Jesus said unto them, take heed and be aware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." So as the church, Jesus gave his disciples these warnings because he knew the times and the seasons that they were living in. And he knew the times and the seasons that the church was to be born in and to live in this world today. And he says, take heed and be aware of covetousness, because your life, my life, does not consist of the abundance of things that we possess. Brother Elby testified of that. It stayed behind. Everything they went for, it stayed behind. Let's not be caught up in that. And those things come in and they choke out the word. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There, and then you can take it as you want. This is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Or you can take it as the word of God to the church today. And so in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation has already been laid. The foundation is good, but he says to the to us is take heed how you build. Take heed with what you do and put on top of that foundation. So take heed to those things. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. It says, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we just got done reading many portions of Scripture, and if we sat through this carelessly, nonchalantly, uninterested, I'm above this. I have no need of this. This doesn't affect me. I can live this life. I can live in America. And covetousness doesn't bother me. If we can say that, he says, if you think you stand, I'm going to give you the last warning. Take heed, lest you fall. You know, if you think you're there, you think you've mastered it, take heed because you might fall. Just two more verses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, because he has spoken to the church by the Son, not through the angels or through prophets. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And then, we won't turn there, but Luke 21, sometime you can, well, actually, we'll turn there. Luke chapter 21, there's just a couple verses there that I'd like to point out. Luke chapter 21, let's do verse 34 to 36. And he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So to take heed to yourself, let's not, the goal is when the Hebrew writer says that we let these things take an earnest heed and lest these things slip from our hands. That we lose them, and then our faith is made shipwreck. These are the words that the Hebrew writer is writing to or writing about when he says to take more earnest heed to the things that you hear. Is the words of his Son, that the Son of God has spoken to the church. Take heed to that, because those are the enduring substance. Those are the things that are going to prepare us to stand before the Son of Man. These things that we just read, and I didn't read it all, but Luke 21, 8 through 36, you could read that. I'm not going to this morning, but those things are going to come to pass. The Word of God is true. It is right, and it will stand. And everything that's written in red was not written just haphazardly, but it was written because you and I need it. So the Hebrew writer says, take an earnest heed to the things that are spoken. Don't ever take a word of caution casually. Receive it. Hear it. I was thinking of this. There was early in my Christian life, if an unbeliever would give me a warning, I would say, bah. Bah, what does he know? Well, the Lord convicted me in that, and today that when someone gives me a word of warning, hear it, receive it, take it home, put it in your prayer closet, put it before the Lord. even if in your mind you say, no, no, that's not me, no. The question you have to ask is why, what did they see in your life that made them give you that warning? What did they see you that made them, what did they see in my life that made them come up to me and say, what about this in your life? So we take it home, we put it before the Lord. It's the safest place you can do it. You do it in your closet. You can lay it there and you can say, Lord, teach me because I want to be the light and the salt in this world. So don't ever take a word of caution casually. Don't do that. When a brother or a sister or a daddy or a mommy taps you on the shoulder, you receive it. You bow your heart. You're not above it. You're not so good that you can handle everything. Somebody saw something in my life that made them tap me on the shoulder. And it can take you in a right way, or it can take you in a wrong way. So, take an earnest heed of the things, a more earnest heed of the things that have spoken, lest any time they should let them slip. And now we're going to talk about slipping. And the word slipping simply means drifting, a slow, subtle movement that can hardly be noticed. Without an anchor, we will all drift. It's the natural tendency of humanity. We must have a true, solid point of reference to determine if we are drifting. Oftentimes, if you're out, I don't know if you've ever taken a boat ride, but you just go out there and you just shut the engine off and it's really calm body of water. You will never stay right where you stopped your engine unless you drop an anchor. You will continue to drift. Now, if you're out there, you don't notice it. You're moving, but you think you're sitting still. In our mind, we think you're sitting still because the engine is shut off. My boat is parked, if you can. There's no anchor down, but there's the waves aren't moving, so we're sitting still. In my mind, I'm not moving. So that's why we must have a true, solid point of reference to determine whether or not we are drifting. Most everyone in this life says, I'm a Christian. Based on what? See, if there's no solid point of reference, how would we tell? I'd like to ask this a question. How many of us today would say that we have slipped? And I don't know if I should. I won't. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'd like to think about this. How many of us would say in our hearts today that we have slipped from the time we've been converted to today? And slipped means you've drifted from the things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. How many of us have just drifted? Just a little bit. So the bigger question is how would we know? How would we know that? And so I'm going to try to do something here this morning. Obviously, you need a point of reference. Easy, but that's all right. So are those lines level? Which one of those lines is level? I use the level to make those lines. But as you sitting there, you probably could tell me which line you think is level. Because you have, are any of these lines leveled? Would you know? And the top one, who said that? Top one? Okay, top one's level. Everybody agree with brother? Okay, so they're seeing something. So he used a point of reference. He used something to determine whether or not that line was level. But all of the everybody else looks at something else, and they used a different point of reference, and they said that line is not level. But everybody was using a point of reference. So how would we today determine whether or not that line is level? If I brought a hammer up here and held a hammer up here, would that help determine? No, Brother Nelson says that won't help. What about a scales? Would that help? No, that won't help either. But we need a point of reference. How will we determine if this thing is level? What about a tape measure? Tape measure help? Yes? No? Depends? Yes? Okay, we don't even agree with that even. So if it helps, how would it help? But if we was to use the tape measure to determine what's level, how would we do that? Which point of reference? The one that's level. Well, we don't know that, so we have to figure out what's level. A plumb line. Well, that's right. It'd be hard to lay a plumb line sideways, but I agree. So it's hard to determine that. We could measure off the whiteboard, assuming that the individual that installed the whiteboard made a level. But that's it's kind of iffy. We could measure from the ceiling, and we could probably get close. Well, within a 16th. Hey, it's within the lines, right? It's sufficient, isn't it? It's not drift, is it? We're talking about drift. Remember, we're trying to bring a point across. A drift is slow, subtle movement. Now, so we need a point of reference, and I don't have a tape measure. But I do have another source of leveling. So how many would agree that that's a plumb line? That's a plumb line. So today we have an accurate plumb line right there. That plumb line is right back there in the wall. That plumb line, it's level. Wherever you see that mark, it's level. It's plumb. So now you can take everything from that true point of reference, and you can build everything off of it, and it'll be accurate. And there, by this line, you can determine which any one of these lines are level or not level, and whether they're drifting or not drifting. So unless we have a solid point of reference, we're just going to drift, okay? We're just going to drift. I mean, that's we could probably argue that fact, and we could say, well, but so we figured out the tape measure won't work, a hammer won't work. We also figured out that my own opinion won't work. Because brothers here had their own opinion of which line was level, if it didn't work. So my own opinion of myself is not a true test of whether or not I have drifted. So then what should we use, and how would we determine? The Bible, Jesus, is our best solid point of reference. An up-to-date, consistent relationship with Christ will keep us from drifting. And this is something that you could do here, is I would encourage each one of us that has been born again, to take a brother or sister older than yourself, and someone that's not just going to flatter you, and ask them, in the past 3 years, have you drifted in your life? And just allow them to answer. Okay, it's one of those, you take an earnest, it's a word of caution, you take a more earnest heed to it, you open up your heart, you say, you brother, you sister, you tell me what you see in my life. Now, will it always be accurate? I didn't say it's always going to be accurate, but you can take that to your prayer closet and you'll find a very accurate position. God will show you, and my opinion is that if that brother, if that little conversation is done prayerfully, you can receive whatever that brother or sister said as from God. Okay, you can do that. It's safe. If you pray about it and you tell them to pray about it, and you just put it before the God, before the Lord, and you say, Lord, you let that brother or sister tell me whatever they want. And then when they say it, don't reject it. Don't hold out a stiff arm. Receive it. Open your arm. We need to keep moving here. So he says here that, and we're still there, but we should let to give a more earnest heed. So what's the point of giving it a more earnest heed? Why do we give a more earnest heed today than what has ever been done in the past? So to just give us a little... So you have the Godhead. Which is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And then you have the angels. This is a graph of position and preeminence. And then you have mankind. And so this was like this. And we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are eternal beings. This is the Creator. They're supreme. They're sovereign. They have all authority. They hold absolute authority. And then you have the angels are created. By the way, these aren't created, they're begotten. They're eternal. Eternity past, eternity in the future. They always were. Angels, that's not true. They're not eternal beings, they're created. But they're spirit. There's no flesh. They're above man. They will not taste death. they have more knowledge than man. God spoke, God used these in times past to speak to the prophets through the angels. The angel came to Mary, the angel came to Zechariah, the angel came to Joseph. The mankind hasn't been used in that way. Mankind is created, they're also not eternal. They're physical, they're fleshly. Well, what I mean by flesh and spirit is that we have a body we live in. The angels are in a spiritual realm. We will taste death. So as we think of the level of position and preeminence, as we think of that, that's why it's so important to, as we think of this graph, in days gone by, God used the angels to declare his message to mankind. The angels were below the Godhead. They don't hold preeminence. But in the past, in these last days, remember the end of the age, the last days, God took his Son and he's speaking to mankind. That's why we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things that were spoken. You remember the parable of the vineyard. Is the owner said, well, if I send my Son, they'll respect and they'll reverence him, and they didn't. God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to speak to the church today. And that's why he tells us we ought to give a more earnest heed. Because if the word that was spoken by angels was steadfast, it was solid, it was truth, it was right, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall you and I escape if we neglect so great a salvation, the Son Jesus Christ, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto you and I by those that heard him. The apostles and disciples, they heard him, they recorded it. It's written for us today. We read it, we receive it. And then God also, bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles. So God also came behind that, and he supported the Son has spoken and what the disciples and the apostles have shared with us. So in that manner, we give a more earnest heed because the Son holds preeminence over the angels. If the word that was spoken by the angels was steadfast, how much more shall it be steadfast by the Son? If every transgression and disobedience, if that was when it was done with the angels, received a just recompense of reward, how much more shall it be if there's a transgression and disobedience to the Son? Take heed how we hear. I'm going to read to you the Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 in the Amplified. For this reason, that is because of God's final revelation in his Son Jesus, and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard, so that we do not in any way drift from the truth. For if the message given through the angels, the law given to Moses, was authentic and unalterable, and every violation and disobedient act received an appropriate penalty, how will we escape the penalty if we ignore such a great salvation, the gospel, the new covenant? For it was spoken at first by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proved authentic by those who personally heard him speak. And besides this evidence, God also testifying with them, confirming the message of salvation both by signs and wonders and by various miracles carried out by Jesus and the apostles, and by granting to believers the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The revelation that we have today is a more sure word of prophecy. And in the as we think of a just recompense of reward, the definition of that is to compensate, to make return of an equivalent of anything given, anything done or suffered, as to recompense a person for services, for fidelity or for sacrifice of time, for loss or damages. So to recompense simply means that if you go out here on your way home and you have an accident and your vehicle is totaled, the insurance company will give you the value of that vehicle, or they'll pay for the damages. If you have $1,000 worth of damages, the insurance company will not come give you a $100 check and say, it's just and you've been recompensed, go on your way. So if every disobedient act or transgression received its equivalent back when it was spoke by the angels, how much more when the Son speaks? We will, when there's a disobedient act, we will receive in just and accurate portions as the act of disobedience was done. So therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which were spoken. May the Lord bless each one of you, and may he continue to use you to serve him.